To all you Malama Kauai listeners out there and anyone who might be tuning in to KKCR today, we have a great show. Today's guest is Rick Rutiz from Makahana Kaike program in Hanamaui. And we are very thankful to have him on the show. Rick, are you with us?
I'm here.
All right. So today's show is so our listeners can learn a little bit more about this wonderful community program that you have over in Hana. And I'm going to give just a little bit of an introduction, and then I'm going to let you kind of elaborate on that, Rick. Rick's program is about working with youth and helping community and building projects. And so we've got Keiki learning, and we've got Kapuna being helped with projects, and we've got community being engaged on a broad level. I know a little bit about the program just from having read about it online, and also from having spoken to Rick in the past, but we were really excited when he agreed to come on the show and tell us more. So, Rick, can you give us just a little background on the program and what it's all about?
Yeah, I'll try to. Maybe I'll start with a short little story that might say more about it than I can. Some years back, when we've been going for about 11 years now, and about 6, 7, 8 years back, one of our kids, who was a high school student, a ninth grader, he was in our building and construction program, and these are young kids that are usually at risk, not necessarily, but a lot of them, and don't do very well in the classroom. You know, school is maybe 6 hours of them being slapped around and being told how stupid they are. That's the reality for a lot of these kids. So we teach them building skills, and most of them really excel in it and do very well. But one day in mid-November, Sunday night, this kid with a single mother of six, his family house burnt down to the ground. And it wasn't, you know, it was kind of a shack, nothing much, but still it was their home. Monday morning, the kid showed up. The boy wasn't there, Kavika. And as the kids were building on the project, the classroom that we were working on, they started whispering and saying among themselves, "Hey, we could build a house for Brado. We know how to do that. We could do this." And it built up for a while. And finally, I called them together. I said, What are you saying? "So, hey, we could build this house for Brada." And I said, "Bullshit. You know, how are you going to do that? You can't build." They said, "Yeah, we can." So I said, "Okay, drop your belts." We went over to the classroom. They designed a small little 600-square-foot cottage. Luckily, that night, Front Page Maui News had the story of the fire. And so the next day, I said, "Well, where are you getting the materials from?" And they all looked at me. I said, "Our budget can't handle that. We can't do that." So I said, "Get on the phone while it's news item." So they called all our local suppliers, the lumber companies and, you know, Miyake, Hansadors, all those guys. And by the end of the day, we had about 80% of the materials donated. We got bulldozer guys to come in and level it. We got the truckers to bring in the stuff. And 3 days later, the day after Thanksgiving, about 30 people showed up in the rain Friday morning, and it rained and rained and rained all Hana style all weekend. But the food kept coming, the hot drinks, the warm T-shirts, and Sunday night, the kids had built a house with doors, windows, water hooked up, toilet, and they were able to move in that night. And this probably says more about, you know, the ability and the hearts of the kids than anything I could say.
That's quite a story, Rick. Thank you for opening with that. And it's really an incredible thing to think that people and young people can pull together and recognize a need and deliver so poignantly in a situation like that. So
yeah, and they grew so much during that short span of time and I think the whole community, you know, led by a bunch of 15, 16, 17-year-old kids saying that we can take care of our own, and, you know, We don't need to be looking at outside. Our community can take care of ourselves. And it was really pretty chicken skin to be there. And it wasn't just the kids. We had community members, carpenters, you know, everyone out there helping. And as the program grew from that, and we did more and more cottages and things like that for our kapuna in need, and we started to do solar bathhouses for families in need that didn't have hot water. So, you know, it went in a lot of different directions. But the main thing, it's the kids who are doing the work, the inspiration for it. They design, they build, they learn, and it works.
So just so everyone understands, it seems like that story is about how this program got started, in essence. Is that right? Or how it became more about the community?
Well, in the beginning, it was classes at school. I was I'm a contractor, but I would be a volunteer teacher, and I was paid by my nonprofit that we started. So it started off as classes, and we started off building classrooms because we were badly in need of that, kind of neglected from the district, and we took care of building a couple classrooms every year, full-size classrooms for our school. And this was the first venture into the community. And after that, once, you know, I understood how much of a difference it is for the kids to be helping their own, to be helping Kama'aina and the needs of our kupuna here, it kind of made a switch from doing only school projects to doing mostly community projects. And then we also got into a thing where we started doing ramps for our kupuna who are having problems getting into their houses because of age or accidents or anything. And we made it a rule that, you know, anyone who needed a ramp, we would instantly, within a day or two, be there and figure out how to do a, you know, a legal, very gradual code type ramp for them. And because our kupuna do not want to go out to finish their last remaining time in Kahului on the other side, they all want to stay home with family. So, you know, one thing led to another, and it's basically now, what can we do to help take care of our own community? And really, my board supports whatever we do, whatever comes up, and the community is just amazing. You know, if I need an electrician, if I need, you know, any kind of help or transportation or bulldozer, you know, within minutes, there's someone volunteering.
That is really wonderful.
Awesome.
To hear about.
Awesome. Rick, there's so much passion that you have for this project. One thing, talk about legalities. We'll be careful about not swearing over the air, yeah. We no can do that. But I am enjoying the conversation you're sharing here about how the empowerment of our community, when the heart is there and the appeal, the youth, are setting the tone for this and taking care of each other and their kupuna as well. Mahalo nui.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I don't know how far removed from high school you are. I'm like a long ways removed from there.
Me too.
you know, I had kids grow up in Hana High School, and I saw their friend, you know, my kids learned to play the school game pretty easy because we were on their case all the time. But with a lot of the local kids, you know, they're great kids. They can hunt, they can fish, they can, you know, they've got great hearts. They're beautiful, honest, wonderful kids. But the school game is not something they learned very well to play. And therefore, they, as they're growing up, they be, you know, it becomes this thing where I'm 16, 17, you know, years old. I'm 6 foot high. I've got arms, you know, as big as my legs. And yet, they're mess ups, you know. Everyone looks at them as being a problem, you know. Oh, how'd you mess up today? Were you in the principal's office? On and on and on. What did you fail? And, you know, if you look like 70, 80, 100 years back, when you were 16, 17, 18 years old, you were top dog. You know, that your community depended upon you, both the women and the men, for making the community run. You were a big part of things and you were needed. And that's what I see is when these kids go build, you know, a cottage for auntie or uncle or tutu or someone in the community, everyone's watching. First of all, you know, we're a small community here, and everyone knows what's going on. And I see these kids, like, walk through Hasegawa's store, and you got four uncles patting them on the back saying, hey, boy, good work. and they start to feel real differently, and then they act differently, and they act like, you know, they're needed, and they're useful, and they're worth something. And you get just this drastic change in them, and then you get the kupuna, their relationship with these kids, and that changes. You know, they're not mess ups, they're not problems. They just did something amazing. So you really get a big swing in the reality of and people's perceptions of one another.
This is so great to hear about. It's interesting. We have a good friend who's also a volunteer DJ on the show, Jimmy Trujillo, and Jimmy works with high school kids in a similar program here on Island. We would love to see it, and I think those kids are incredibly capable. They helped us build some sets for a play that we did at Kalaheo School last fall, and it was great. You know, they just jumped in and said, "This is how we can help." And I would love to carry over some of that really positive energy that you guys have going in HANA. So it's wonderful to hear the story. It's wonderful to hear how much empowerment there is and recognition of the value of these youth who just, you know, who are smart, who can work hard, who just need to know that there's purpose behind what they're doing. And it sounds like you're really delivering on that. So mahalo to you.
Really great. There's a whole, there was like 20 kids. I just don't remember the name of the nonprofit that brought them over, but we had like 20 Kauai middle school kids, maybe from Kapa'a, but I'm not even sure where they were from. And they came over one day to check us out, our program, and we were in the middle of doing this big mosaic tile kind of fish pond, koi pond in our office. And all our kids were down on their knees, breaking tiles and designing these. And your guys kind of stood back in awe, watched for a while. And after 15 minutes, I said, hey, you guys like join in? And they go, yeah. And for, you know, instead of doing tours and BS and everything, the next 4 hours, they were in there getting dirty, doing these great mosaics. And now we've got some mana from Kauai that I'm sitting here looking at now in the office. Nice. I mean, kids, you know, that's what they want to do. They want to jump in. They want to go. They want to be part of things. And they need to get out of the classroom. And please quote me on that.
Hallelujah.
Out of the classroom.
I believe you. Rick, I'm going to share just briefly because it's really interesting to me. My background is architecture, and I went to university and trained. And I had a lot of building experience along the way. But one of the things I always saw it was more connection to the building industry, because as you may know, there, you know, architecture and building are very separate in a lot of ways these days. But to see kids who are learning how to build, you know, that's such an empowering thing to understand how a building goes together. And all of a sudden you can then overlay creativity and start thinking like a building designer because you have that background. So,
yeah, exactly. And it's, you know, especially it's great for them because they design all the buildings that they build. So it starts out, you know, on the drafting table of, you know, okay, how do you want to do this? We could do, you know, this, this, that, or this. You know, there's not one way to do it. There's 17 ways to do it. And what would be most appropriate for this? what would get us the best cooling scenario, because, you know, we don't have, no one does AC here, so we design for cooling, we design for passive solar, we design for wind and everything like that, and all these trades. And the kids totally, you know, are geniuses at that. Mm-hmm. And then when it comes to the building process, it's, you know, all the way down the line, oh, we don't have trim long enough to cover those three windows in a row. How do you want to join them? And one kid will go, hey, let's make an ukulele and an ipuheke and put that right in the middle of the trim and butt each side to it so it looks, you know, it looks like it's on purpose instead of having some lame scarf joint in the middle.
You're making me want to go back. See, I'm 40 years old, but I want to go back to high school and work for you guys.
Me too. I like going.
It's over.
That is great.
And so, just like one other, just about the kids, I'll stop talking whenever you want me to.
Oh, no, that's the idea.
Go for it.
Yeah, it's one kid who was in ninth grade. He started building with us, and he was just genius material. But all his other classes, he failed them all the way through high school. The teachers snuck him a D just because they didn't want to see him anymore. And with, in building class, I'd say, okay, James, you know, you go over and build this wall and do this, this, and that. And I'd send him on his way. And then every time, 5 minutes later, kid would come back, go, hey, uncle, what if I went like that, that, and this instead? And I'd sit there, look at him perplexed, scratch my head, and go, oh, yeah, much better. I mean, as a 10th grader, totally failing in school, he was smarter than I was with 25, 30 years contractor experience. And I've still got the kid with me now. He's 24 years old. He's one of my, he's the main teacher. You know, I hardly even do it anymore because my kids can teach better than I can. Mm-hmm. And we do this thing where I've got an apprenticeship program with older kids who stay around, and it's just this hierarchy. You know, James teaches the apprentices teach the scrubs, and on down the line, and everyone's happy with it. And I just walk around and watch everyone.
that's Al right there. That is a beautiful thing. You know, what you said something a little earlier. You talked about the school game, and I think it's really important to recognize that, you know, what you're seeing is you're seeing kids who really have a lot of aptitude, but they don't see the relevance of the school game, and then you're dropping them in this environment where they're like, hey, this matters. You know, I'm building a house for my friend here. I mean, that is beautiful stuff.
The thing is, it works. Everyone, you know, all the other nonprofits and everything, they look in amazement of what we're doing, and I keep trying to encourage other people to, you know, set this up in their area, in Waianae or Kauai or Big Island, wherever. And I guess they have to, you know, they have to find someone who knows how to build that they let them out of the loony bin early and, you know, is willing to do that, who loves to work with the kids. But, you know, we're not doing anything secret or anything. It's just, you know, go do it and get a board that supports you so you don't have to jump through hoops. You divorce yourself from the school system a little bit and you just go.
I think what helps programs like these is that it makes use of the skills and abilities that our children locally still have. They're very analytical. They're very hands-on based. And that's part of also our culture here, native and everybody here. And so programs like this so enhance that skill and the sense of community and mahalo nui loa. I'm enjoying listening to hear all you do and the sharing of stories.
Well, you hit the nail on the head. It's the kids, you know. I think if I was on the mainland or something, this type of thing wouldn't hurt because the mana of the kids, you know, they get it. They understand what they're doing, and it's that their passion that makes this work too. And then, you know, the support of our community, being such a small community, is absolutely amazing too.
Well, interestingly, one of the reasons we sought you out, Rick, is that I don't know if you know Keone Kealoha, who I work with at Malama Kauai, but he's the executive director over there, and he and I have been talking for a while about a building program, and we didn't, you know, we're just trying to put some shape to it. And initially, you know, my background is architecture and building, but we hadn't really thought as much about the kids as you know, you're pointing out. We had kind of thought community, and we certainly wanted people engaging and volunteering and doing that, but just such a powerful story to hear that I have to wonder if that's not the right path. You know, I mean, it really, really excellent stuff. Are there projects that you've done real recently that you might want to tell us a little bit about, you know, or even just over the course of the years that were really, really particularly special to you?
Well, every time we work with Kupuna, it's special because of just, you know, the school projects were great, and the school appreciated it, and they were easy because it's right on campus, and it made it easy to do it during the classes. We also have after school where we build for 2.5-3 hours every day, and there's one part of it I didn't mention. The kids get paid for this.
All right.
School. And, you know, some people kind of look at that and go, oh, but I think it's great. And main thing is, if the kids are there, they're going to benefit. If they're not there, you know, if I don't have a hook to get them in the beginning, it wouldn't happen. So our nonprofit hustles money, and we stipend the kids in both paycheck, and the important one is every hour they work, they get an additional $4 an hour in what we call tool money. And then we work with our local suppliers and the reps and everything, and we get great tool deals on, you know, high-quality tools, and we get them straight into the kids' hands. So that's another aspect. After a year or so of building, the kids have a couple thousand dollars worth of super high-end tools, which are theirs, that they keep at home. And again, as you guys from local community, you know that if you can get tools into the Kamaaina family's hands, it's going to be used by a lot of people for a lot of good things.
That is incredible. That is wonderful to hear, because that is obviously one of the, you know, one of the big hurdles to always improving in an area, is when you don't have the resources to get those tools that are key to doing the work. So
exactly. So, I mean, it means we have to hustle more money, but in the end, in the nonprofit world, everyone likes the fact that the money is going to the kids, and they're, you know, they're being trained, and, you know, that's kind of the easiest dedicated money restricted that we get. So it's really not that much of a problem, but it helps immensely to get the kids into the program. And then, you know, the Kupuna and the family projects have a lot more emotion, a lot more passion than the school projects. And also, we've been heavily going in the, I used to use the word alternative energy, but it's not alternative anymore. So, sustainable or solar. We do a lot of work on hot water solar systems. We try to get them into the low-income families, the needy families, and a lot of times the house can't support anything on its roof, so we'll actually build a small bathhouse dedicated for the solar and, you know, do that 4, 5, 6 times a year. Sometimes we partner with, for example, Hawaii Energy is helping us this year on a partnership where they're paying for the hot water systems, which is really great, leverages our ability. And we've done some off-grid photovoltaic systems, but just trying to get the kids into that technology, feeling that that's a no-brainer career opportunity in the future. And also into building with sustainable materials. We've got a bamboo farm here in Hana that we work side by side with, and we're learning how to build with bamboo in a more Polynesian way, instead of using lots of bolts and, you know, steel and brackets. We're lashing, and we've got Uncle Francis Nancy, one of the premier holly builders that's from Hana, and he's works with us a lot and teaches us different lashing techniques. And so we're trying to use more local sustainable materials where we can, and at the same time trying to keep it affordable. You know, it's easy for rich people to be sustainable. It's a lot harder for people with a budget to be sustainable. So going in different directions like that.
This is all really wonderful stuff. And what I keep thinking, and the one thing I want to get out, we have to take a short break here, but I want to get out, you know, I'm really eager to try to find a project where we can get you over here and some of your students to really just give us some help in getting a similar program, or at least provide some of that inspiration. It's just brilliant to hear all the aspects of this program that you're doing. So thank you so much for joining us on the show. We're going to continue in just a couple of minutes after this break. So, Rick, please hang on the line. And listeners, more to come. We'll be opening up the phone lines probably around 20 till for people who want to call in and ask Rick a question. And Leilani?
Healing Horses Kauai is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that provides equine-assisted therapies for children and adults with cognitive, physical, developmental, and emotional challenges. We welcome new riders, volunteers, and possible land leases from Hanamaulu to Puhi. More information is available from Karen Stoll at 632-2010.
And mahalo to Healing Horses Kauai for all their support that they give us here at Kauai Community Radio. And to everyone out there who continues to keep this station going and uplifted, free speech radio for the most part, yeah. And we give you wonderful shows like today, Malama Kauai. You're listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea. And many are listening to us live at kkcr.org on our audio stream. Spitting that out, and let's have a little song break. Yeah,
you know, there's I think we should. I've got a couple quick announcements I wanted to make and share on the air while we have
Sounds
an opportunity.
Wonderful.
So, one is just to remind our listeners that one of the important upcoming events in the community is the Kauai Multimodal Transportation Plan, and we are blessed to have Jim Charlier and Associates helping us and our community develop this plan, which is about transportation issues in the community. They are going to be holding meetings island-wide, and I'm not going to go through the list, but if you're interested in those meetings, you can go online and find out more information, and I believe the website is gokauai.net, but if you don't find it there, because I'm going from memory, I would go to kauai.gov and pursue it through the Kauai bus, and they'll be able to let you know when those meetings are happening. We'll also try to post something on the Malama Kauai Facebook page more immediately, and perhaps even the website as soon as we can. There's an irrigation workshop out at the Kekaha Community Garden this weekend, Sunday from 3 to 6 p.m. that I believe is open to all comers. So if you want to learn how to set up irrigation in your home garden or your community garden, I'm going to be there learning so that we can put it in at the Kalaheo Community Garden, and hope others will show up as well. Let me see. They're speaking of the Kalaheo Community Garden, we had announced a little while back there was going to be a groundbreaking on August 13th, and that's delayed a little bit, but we're still going to make that happen, and we're very eager to get people if people are interested, they are welcome to come on out and join our efforts at creating a garden at the Kalaheo Community or the Kalaheo Neighborhood Center. If you're inclined to do so, come check out our Facebook page. It's Neighborhood Gardens of Kalaheo, and give us a like and see what's going on with that. Keep up to speed. Last announcement from me before we maybe take a short song break and then get back on the air with Rick is that there are several upcoming Kauai Island Utility Cooperative quarterly meetings for people both on the North Shore and East Side. The 9th, we're going to be having a meeting in Hanalei at the Hanalei School Cafeteria. So if you're interested to find out what's going on with KIUC and you want to ask some questions and get a chance to talk to some of your elected directors as well as staff, then please consider joining us. I believe that's at 6 p.m. at Hanalei School. There's also one on the 11th at Kapa'a Middle School. So for the same purpose, we're going to be talking about renewable projects, the implementation of a smart grid, and other issues. So hope people will come on out. That's all for the announcements, and let's get back to it.
Hana no e ka
You are listening to Malama Kauai with Ben Sullivan. My name's Leilani, helping out on the boards here and the phones. And we've got Dean's Diner coming up at 1 o'clock, top of the hour, so stay tuned. And take it away, Ben. Rick. We've got Rick on.
Yes, our special guest on the Malama Kauai show today is Rick Rutiz from the Makahana Kaike program over in Hanamaui. Rick, are you back with us?
Yep.
All right. Thank you for holding with that break. So wonderful to hear all about all these projects and all these wonderful things you're doing with the kids over there and how engaged they are and how capable and tons of inspiration. One of the things that I noticed in the paper recently was a project that your group helped out with over on the island of Molokai, and that was with Kahanua Mamona. Could you tell us a little bit about that project?
A lot of fun. It was our first trip ever out of Hana, and I went over with 15 kids, which was kind of crazy, but we had been talking with the people from that nonprofit, and that's Uncle Merv Dudois, who restores the fish ponds there, the Ali'i fish pond, and Kwila Hanchet, Noilani, Yamashita, Kilia. Anyway, great, great, great group of people. And they've got this incredible fish pond that they've been working on for years and years and years. And they've also got many, many cultural learning going on there. They work a lot with the Youth Center and Queen Liliuokalani, but they've never had any type of a building on their fish pond land. They have a little tiny office in town 5 miles away, and it just doesn't work. So their dream was to build something there, and they were able to hustle funding for materials, and we were able to come over, and we were able to bring our large truck, which is called Ka'ahelela. It's a large kind of ex-refrigerator delivery truck with 6 solar panels on top and battery banks inside and inverters. And we were able to and all our tools live inside too. So Young Brothers was kind enough to kokua that over, and we brought that and arrived there Sunday evening, 15 kids just itching to go. They drove us to the job site to check it out about 5:30, and there we find three of the uncles just covered in cement and sweat and dirt, and Kawila looking the same way, and the block work wasn't near done, and we weren't supposed to start working or anything, and the kids just got there, and 3 minutes of checking out the situation, they just took their shirts off and started joining in, and that set the pace for the whole week, and we worked till dark. Every morning up at dawn, working by 6:37 till 11 o'clock. But the problem was Hana boys, it was way hot in Molokai, and we weren't used to that. So we'd work the early hours at 11 o'clock. Uncle would take us holo. We all brought our boards and dive stuff. So we went out and dove and surfed and played in the water. Came back at 3 and worked till dark again. So it was a great situation. We had 5 Molokai boys that joined us from day one, and they melded right in with us. Our kids were real happy and great teachers to teach them what they knew. And so the project was put up this about 800-square-foot office Kauhali building, learning center, everything for them, and also about 160-square-foot solar bathhouse composting toilet. And as it progressed day after day, all we would do at the end of the day, exhausted, look and say, oh, day number two, day number three, and they just look amazed at what they had done and got done. And the Molokai community was so incredible with their hospitality. And every half an hour, there'd be another group of people stopping by. Oh, we heard about the Hana boys, checking out what they did and everything. So the kids started to feel that they were like, royalty, superstars, heroes, and the more that happened, the more they just wanted to, get crazy and work harder and harder and harder and get more done, and it just spiraled up. Every day was better than the day before. Every day I did less, and the kids just took over and did more and more and more, and we had some great volunteers on the Molokai side, Uncle Timmy, who was a builder, and a few others, and it just became like one big family working together, and then every night we'd get invited to someone new's house or a graduation party or luau or something, and never ate better in our lives. So it was like a magical week. And as it got down to the last days and the kids just wanted to get focused, the very last day we were supposed to have paina at 5 o'clock, and it came time for our holo, kids goes, I said, okay, let's go. Where do you want to go? They said, no way, we're not leaving. We're going to stay. So they had like a 5-minute lunch break, and we're pounding, and then come 5 o'clock when people started arriving for the paina, they still weren't done with the roof, and they said, no, we're not stopping. You guys go eat. You guys do your thing. And at about 6:30, finally, the last, piece got done, and that was when they quit and came down off the roof and joined everyone. But it was just amazing the passion and the whole project, and how, we came into a place we didn't know. Most of the kids had never been to Molokai, and we left, weeping and, with new friends and new connections, and it was magic.
I love it. I remember talking a couple of years ago with Noilani about the need for that facility, and she was really kind of looking and trying to figure out how they were going to do it. And it's so perfect that they ran into you guys and connected with you, because it sounds like that was the right place to be for your group, and you were the right team for them, and everything just worked out beautifully. So wonderful to hear the follow up on that.
It was a pleasure to work with them.
She's a good football player, by the way, that Noilani. I don't know if you know that.
She does everything well. All three of them. They've got a system where they've got three women, in their middle young 30s, and they rotate the executive directorship of the nonprofit, and they're just doing a great job. All three of them are just magical.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm really enjoying these stories. I think it's time to share them and share some questions. So if there's listeners that want to call in and ask a question of Rick or make a comment, you are welcome to do so. We're really enjoying ourselves having Rick Rutiz from Makahana Ka'ike program over in Hana with us today. In particular, we'd love to hear from Jimmy Trujillo if he's able to call in, although I know he's busy working with the kids, so he may not be able to. So let's have some calls and let's continue the conversation. What do you have any upcoming projects that you're getting excited about now, Rick?
We're doing a lot of work with Hawaii Energy, which is a part of the state electric, I don't know the hierarchy, but they're part of our electric company, and they seem real happy to come into Hana and spread their goodwill and help us with hot water system, solar systems, and then also a lot of energy auditing work, which will be great the kids to understand, the uses of energy and what's what on the bill and why the bills are so high and what the usage is and stuff like that. So we're starting this collaboration with them, and that will just leverage money-wise the amount of help we can give to the community. And, of course, every year we get a new class of ninth graders, and this year seems real promising. A lot of really great kids who are very motivated.
This is great stuff. It seems like everything you guys touch is just turned into a great thing, and that's to me a mark of a very good program and a very good leader. So that's clearly you, and you're taking advantage of the kids and empowering them, and it's really a phenomenal story. I hope everyone is enjoying it as much as I am. So I'm really intrigued by the. It looks like we have a caller, so I'm going to hold off on my comment and let other people join in. Just a moment, Rick. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am. And what wonderful inspiration and such great stories. I mean, this is really the new paradigm at work. We don't even have to wait for the whole thing to crash before we can start having fun with all this stuff. And totally, I mean, the old system, which is basically the military-based school system, which doesn't work for a lot of people, here we have something brand new that really does work for the local community and for so many kids. But the reason I'm calling is I wanted to find out how to get in touch with Rick, and also if you could please spell your last name and how to get in touch with you. Mahalo. And I'll listen on the air.
Okay, our website is... Can you hear me all right?
Yes, I can.
Yeah. Our website is www.hanabuild.org. And you can check us out. My email is rick@hanabuild.org. And you can contact me through that.
Okay.
And I'm also actually be on your beautiful island at the end of this month. My daughter's getting married there.
Excellent.
Wonderful.
I'll be hanging out over there.
Thank you so much.
We'd love to get a chance to talk to you in person, Rick. Caller, I think you maybe have your radio on, if you don't mind.
Yeah, does that sound better?
Yes, thank you.
And the other thing you mentioned about, you know, interacting with a school and the kids in school, the building part's great, but one of the other benefits of this is, you know, for example, the math. I've had kids who, you know, you tell them, okay, how many square feet of roofing do we need for this? Or how many square feet of floor, or, you know, anything that has to do with math. And they sit there, they look at you blank, or how to read a tape measure. And then when they see it in context and they can touch it, feel it, count it, it's like this giant, oh, duh, why didn't you tell me that 10 years ago? You
know, exactly. Right, again, yeah. The schools have everything to do with theory. And really, the natural way to learn is through the practice, and then the theory comes afterwards. We have it all backwards in our schools. We put these poor kids into school for 12 years, sitting in front of some teacher spouting basically concepts, rather than being out there in the real world doing real things. And more power to you, brother. You're doing exactly what these kids need to do.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, caller.
Okay, thanks. Aloha. Bye-bye.
Aloha. So, not difficult to be inspired by the stories you're providing us. It's really, really a great thing. What suggestions or recommendations do you have for people who really are inspired and what would love to see a similar program happen in their community? Is this something you found pretty easy to get started, or are there some real key points? I mean, obviously, involving the kids and empowering the kids is the message I think we're hearing loud and clear, but there may be other things that you'd want to add to that, Rick.
I think it's a long, I mean, I came in and our school administration was very supportive of it. I also didn't come in as a burden to the school because I didn't ask them to pay me. I had the nonprofit that was taking care of that, so it was an easy decision. And, you know, nonprofits, you don't have to start your own. There's a lot of nonprofits that you could dovetail with and, you know, just get a slow start started out, and, you know, get yourself a board that is supportive. You know, the main thing is that we're able to respond to the needs of the kids in the community. We don't have to go through hoops of state anything. You know, we don't have to ask permission of the DOE to go out and build a ramp for someone. Whereas, you know, possibly if you're straight out of the school, there'd be ridiculous lawyer-driven, you know, liability paranoias that would not allow you to even leave campus or do anything with these kids because everyone's scared of being sued. And our board has made a conscious decision that we, first of all, we do everything right, but second of all, you know, we feel that if you do the right thing, that it's going to all work. You're going to be taken care of.
Mm-hmm. So,
and not to be paranoid of, you know, going out there and doing things.
So having some level of autonomy is a critical aspect, and having that flexibility built into your program where you can basically lead the way as opposed to asking permission, which I hear you on, because we have plenty of projects that we try to do for the benefit of the community, and sometimes we get bogged down in the systems challenges of the whether it be government or some other aspect of liability, as you mentioned. So
yeah, and I'm not saying be reckless or anything like that, or, you know, not to follow the law. I'm just saying that, you know, there's many things that actually, you know, if there's an auntie who falls and breaks her hip and she's got nowhere to go and she needs to go home, that needs to be done tomorrow morning. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no debate, there's no nothing. She needs to be taken care of. And I'm sure in all of our communities, there's plenty and plenty cases where the right thing will just be evident.
Mm-hmm. And one of the aspects of your program that really resounds with me, and I'm sure with a lot of people, is you're teaching these kids these skills in an environment that is not a revenue-driven environment. It's not. It is. You know, certainly, like you mentioned, they get paid for their time, and that's an important part because you're respecting them. But it's not about cracking a whip and making sure so many things get done in a certain amount of time. And really, it's the opposite. What you're finding is that because these kids are liberated to be in charge of what they get done, they actually get done more in some instances.
Yeah, you hit it on the nail. It's very true. And, you know, the other thing about the kids do get compensated, but really the community doesn't really know they're getting I mean, I don't hide it or anything, but the community looks at us as kōkua, and they treat the kids in that manner. And the kids, even though they're compensated, they're learning what that feeling is of doing kōkua. And, you know, maybe that feeling of helping auntie or uncle or whoever is better than going down to the bay and, you know, smoking a fat one or drinking a six-pack of beer. Maybe the high you get from helping people is better than any of those other kinds. And
we've got another
lifelong kōkua people.
We've got another caller, Rick, for you.
Yep.
Caller, are you there?
Yes, good morning. This has been a fabulous program. Thank you so much, Rick, for sharing what's been so successful for you.
I almost can't hear you.
I know there are many, many contractors and of all kinds, painters and carpenters and electricians here who could be of great help on a project like this. But my question is, what have been the most successful fundraisers for your project? How have you done that, and where are you finding the money is coming from?
Rick, were you able to hear the question?
Yeah, I got that. The most successful fundraiser, that's when we take all weekend with 50 parents and we earn $17 by selling Portuguese sausage and sweetbread. No, I'm being facetious. Our fundraising is all about grant writing and, you know, doing an excellent job of grant writing and getting a reputation in the nonprofit world and getting a reputation among the private foundations and our more wealthy people in our local community. We don't do traditional fundraiser. It's just too much for too little money. We have a very large budget, and fundraising is all about larger chunks of money or smaller chunks, but it's not by, you know, our time is better spent helping someone than it is, you know, selling sweetbread or Portuguese sausage or washing cars.
Are you a nonprofit in Lisbon?
Yes, we're a nonprofit.
Right, okay. Thank you so much for sharing your wonderful project.
Thank you.
Aloha.
Thank you, caller. So what I'm hearing from you, Rick, is that you give aloha and you receive it, and that's how it should be.
Yeah, and just again, we've been approached by lots of our funders and say, hey, you know, why don't you build, you know, small cottages for the rich people? They're waving $10,000 bills and asking, you know, if you can build for them. But it wouldn't work because, you know, if we can hustle $10,000 worth of funding from someone who feels that they want to partner with us, and we can do a great project that would help, again, an auntie or an uncle or a family that really needs it, it's way more impact. And for the kids, too, they feel that impact and the passion and the importance of what they're doing way more than, you know, going to work for some rich people. And again, you know, I'm thankful for the people who can afford to support us, but they support us with an open heart and not asking for something in exchange.
Rick, I want to thank you sincerely for coming on the show. It's really been a pleasure. I think everyone has enjoyed hearing your story. Is there any parting comments you want to make? We're at the top of the hour. We want to give you a chance to kind of give us some parting thoughts.
Anyone who would, you know, like to have more information, check out the website. And if you want to come over to HANA, we would be happy to let you tag along with us as long as you want. There's no secrets. We would love to see this, you know, in many other places. And any way we could help to get this started would be great.
Mahalo, Rick. Mahalo, Leilani, for joining me in the studio today and for helping out. And to everybody who listened and called in, it's been a great show of Malama Kauai. And we look forward to joining you again in a couple of weeks. We're going to put on a little music.
You're listening to KKCR Honolulu and KAQA Kilauea. Hi, Rick. Mahalo nui loa. Very inspiring.
Okay. Mahalo.
You take care. Aloha no.